And it's 9:30 on a Friday. Time now for Capital Call here on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3. As usual, we have Representatives Judge Strom and Daryl Fincher and Senator Julie Daniels with us. Guys, how are you doing this morning?
Doing really great, thank you.
I'm dry.
It's good to be home.
Yes, very much so.
And we'd like to thank Phillips 66 for making this Capital Call possible today. And speaking of staying dry, you guys have been kind of checking out some of the area and what's been going on. What's your kind of assessment of the damage and everything?
Over the last few days, I've tried to get in touch with and talked to all the county commissioners in the three counties in District 29 and all the emergency management people, managers, and then some of the folks in the local government. And, of course, they all have issues, but the emergency management directors were pleased with the way things were going. I know the emergency management director in Nowata County is concerned about some folks who didn't evacuate, and they're monitoring them. But my main call to them was, are you getting everything you need from the state? Are things well coordinated? Have you reached any roadblocks with which I could help? And they were all good with the way things were being coordinated and handled. So that's my update.
I made a circle as well, and I was on the phone with emergency management and met several of those guys, and it was amazing to me. I'd go to a fire department or I'd meet where they were meeting. I'd say, what can we do, and where do you need help? And they'd really, it's just an ultimate testament to our community. They'd say, we've got this. They'd say, we've got people out that wanted to get out. We said, we've got water where we need water. I spent some time over in Nowata. I'd pass back around and help people fill some sandbags out at the fairgrounds. And I still, to this day, and it's going to bother me, a lady came in, she backed up her van, she was so thankful for all the help, she really needed sandbags, we filled her up a sandbag, we filled her up her second one, she said thank you, and she took off, it still bothers me what she did with two sandbags. And it's just, but she had them, and she was great, getting around, I say again, it's a testament to our community, how people came together, and what people were able to do to help each other out.
I agree with that. I think one of the challenges that we did have is that where the flood gauges are, people were, initial predictions were looking at the flood gauge, said, oh, that's not bad, because, we had far worse in other times. The problem we ran into, especially where Sand Creek comes in, is that we have Sand Creek and Eliza Creek all dumping water there. So they can actually get much higher on the much higher water increase there than the flood gauge would indicate, because the flood gauge is north of town. That's quite a couple of miles downriver.
And, I live right on Hula Lake, right on the Caney River below the dam. And so I can step out on the porch and gauge the water pretty good. You can hear it from the house. And so I was worried. I moved in Oklahoma City. I moved out of my apartment into another apartment, smaller and cheaper. I moved out of my office into that apartment because they're going to remodel. And then I moved home, and I moved out of my house into my camper and up on top of the hill. So I lived there for 3 or 4 days. And so it's finally nice to be able to, I think like a lot of people, get back into my home, stay in my own bed.
And now, Representative Fincher, you were talking a little bit about if the damage is less than 50% of, what can you tell us about that?
Well, part of that has to do with FEMA regulations. Here in Bartlesville, and the city of Bartlesville can go into much more detail about this, but in order for us to participate in the flood insurance plan, part of that requirement is that if it costs more than half the value of your house to refurbish it, then there's a potential that they won't refurbish it and you would have to rebuild it to, flood resistant standards. Now, that turns out that there are a lot of ways around that. And my understanding is that here in Bartlesville, they've only had one house ultimately that happened to, because there are appeals, you can appeal the valuation. But the other part is it's not like you just abandon the property. If it ever comes down to that, they actually get grants to buy the land from you. So if people are in that situation, know that there's help out there and that there's ways to, that there's a lot of ways to work with it, and they should really contact the city engineering and work with them.
And I remember being on the city council one particular property where we went back and forth trying to negotiate a price with the homeowner, and ultimately the city did purchase that. But of course now the city must maintain that, open ground in perpetuity. So the taxpayers are on the hook for those properties when they're purchased and the homes are moved off of them. Just point out, we talk a lot about the budget. I know we're gonna go do a budget presentation later today. You think in these times, with all the water, the Office of Emergency Management, Department of Environmental Quality, Water Resources Board, your counties and county roads, how critically important they are, but they're just a tiny, tiny, tiny little slice of the budget pie. Office of Emergency Management has a total budget of about $500,000. So we talk about the big spenders, but some of the services we offer in the state are critical. And a little bit of money towards them goes a long way in helping us through these situations. So we must always be mindful that there are critical core services that we really don't think about spending money on or that they're important until these weather events happen. And, you know, the Conservation Commission gets an extra $1 million this year on flood control structures, on dams that they maintain. I'm guessing there may need to be a supplemental or two that go to some of these agencies to deal with the aftermath of the rain and the flooding. So there's some very important services that we offer that we don't really pay attention to until we're in these situations.
How do you go about getting supplemental funding?
That's a good question. I haven't been involved in that actual process. I'm sure that it's initiated from the agencies themselves. I know I am curious about it because I worked on a couple of budgets this year, and I would like to see if there's the potential for a supplemental, but it's a very good question, which I'd be happy to answer once I've researched that. Yeah. You two may already know.
Well, one of the challenges we had was with OMES, who came in and asked for supplemental. First of all, unless they're able to move money between accounts without violating the statute, and sometimes they have that flexibility, they have to get the legislature to agree to it, and the governor has to sign it. It's just mm-hmm. another bill. So they would actually have to come to us. What probably would mean is they would use their funds allocated for the years earlier, and so they need something to finish out the year. With that situation with OMES, ultimately the determination was there is money in sufficient accounts, and they would work on it in the regular appropriations process.
Okay. Do you expect them to do that then, or other groups to do that?
We won't know until they actually ask. It depends on how much it is, how much we get from the federal government, because, disaster declarations are in process.
I need to point out as well that Oklahoma's emergency management systems are really state-of-the-art. There are a lot of other states that rely on the services that we provide. Our office there outside or in Oklahoma City, when it comes to tornadoes, when it comes to weather, when it comes to these events that come on, even other states rely on what we have set up there in Oklahoma City. So it's important to maintain that. And I know it's hard to do when the sun's shining to put money away for the rainy times, but this is a time right now where we can see how important that is, that we do that to be able to take care of people in these down times.
I'm hoping the sun stays for a little while, but looking at the forecast, it looks like we're going to have a lot of rain next week too, unfortunately. Is there anything else you guys would like to add about the flood coverage or damage that in the area or what could be taking place?
I hope people see as they drive around and the water comes down why it's so important not to drive through standing water. Now that the water is down, you can see where the whistles have blown out, where the roads have washed away on the sides. We've seen instances where sinkholes have arisen. Please remember that in the future and try to stay out of that water, especially if it's moving water. If it comes up on the road.
And of course, this week in Cleveland, Oklahoma, we started the opioid crisis trials. What can you tell me about that, Julie?
Cleveland County, that's a non-jury trial before the judge and against Johnson & Johnson, anticipated to go on for several weeks. The Attorney General settled the first one with Purdue Pharma, and a settlement has been announced with Teva, which is an Israeli company. The monies for the first one were well over $200 million. The monies for the second one, about $74 million, I think. And, of course, the Johnson & Johnson decided to go to trial. Their company witnesses have been on the stand now for 2 or 3 days. Obviously, there are going to be significant dollars come to the state. The first agreement met with some surprise by the legislature when the Attorney General had it all sort of wrapped up and dedicated to the Oklahoma State University Health Sciences Center and a foundation for research and treatment of drug addiction. It did prompt us to amend the duties and responsibilities of the Attorney General, and the governor did sign this bill saying, when it says you sue on behalf of the state, and when you receive, that was the key word, receive those monies, they must go to the Treasury. That includes settlement agreements. That includes any disposition. you shouldn't bypass the legislature in deciding where these monies, because these are monies on behalf of the people of the state of Oklahoma, should go. Because in the settlement agreement with Purdue Pharma, there is an obligation for the state to set up a foundation. But no one came to the elected representatives of the state. Now, he is elected. He's a statewide official. To say, how would you like to do this, or is this what you would like to do? So we've clarified that in these situations, which are more prevalent now in our society, certainly when the Constitution was written and we first drafted the responsibilities of the Attorney General, we weren't doing these kinds of lawsuits. This one's based on a nuisance. He's saying that the pharmaceutical companies are a nuisance, and we have to abate the nuisance by getting them to pay significant dollars back to alleviate the problem. So I don't know where this one will go. Johnson & Johnson decided to go to trial because they thought they had good evidence on their side to challenge some of the allegations made by the state of Oklahoma. So we'll just have to see if they decide to settle or the judge actually gets to make a decision.
And just real quickly on the other settlement, one of the challenges is, first, no other official in the state can allocate $200 million on their own say-so. It's always checks and balances. And the second thing is that when we're doing that, if we spend the money, then for whatever the reason the settlement gets overturned, the state is on the hook for repaying all that money that we've already spent.
Yes, that is a question that we have in trying to interpret that initial settlement agreement.
Right.
Representative is correct. Some of us think yes, some of us think no. But the fact that it's even cloudy is a concern to us. Not that the money would be misspent, but you have obligated the taxpayers of the state of Oklahoma to something that those with the power of the purse didn't get to participate in. So it is a little bit of a concern.
And we only have a few moments left before we have to get the Bruin buzz. Is there anything that you guys would like to add kind of leading up to the next legislative session?
I want to mention something that's kind of off topic, kind of has to do with us. The election board has been sending out mailers and trying to contact people to check your address, make sure you're still a voter, make sure you're still a registered voter, make sure that someone in that household is still a voter. Fill those out and send those back in, or correspond with the election board however you have to. Already they've purged 90,000 people from our voter rolls in Oklahoma, and that's important to keep that, you know, concise, keep the actual voter rolls as accurate as possible. But they're mailing those out, and I know a lot of people that can kind of get lost in the background and think it's not important, but it really is, that you fill those out and send those back in.
Yeah, and I guess I don't know what these other two gentlemen are working on this summer. I left a few bills on the table, pulled them because I didn't think we were ready to go forward. So I've got some studying to do before this next session on some topics that were brought to my attention that I'd like to continue to pursue. Otherwise, it's doing what we're doing, getting back to knowing the constituents and being able to take more phone calls and try to address more issues. Call my office anytime, 405-521-5436. You know, you can look me up on the legislature homepage. You've got email. Just do be in touch. This is a good time of the year for us to tackle some issues that maybe take a little more research on our part because we're not distracted by the session. But it's an honor to serve. Yeah. Thank you very much.
It is an honor to serve. And likewise, I've got some bills laid over. I'll also be doing a couple of interim studies that have to do with education. But I also want to thank Phillips 66 for sponsoring this for the session.
All right, and that was Capital Call here on this Friday, and we'll see you guys back in February.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At Phillips 66, we don't fuel vehicles.